Loud. Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic. Here to help you feel your absolute best. With over 17 years of beauty innovation excellence. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Fess Up, with special thanks to Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie. I must actually take myself down to Fifth Avenue and get myself ready for my holidays.
What would you get done down there?
I think I'm going to get eyelashes, get my nails done, nail pedi, my toes.
Do you remember we went in there and you had an ass treatment done there a few years ago? What was that?
It was, I think it was Venus Versa, like a cellulite treatment on your bum. Particularly.
Is it not a lifting treatment, no?
It's like this thing, it was like a Hoover that went over and back over your bum.
Oh yeah, that is cellulite.
And what was it called?
No, that is for cellulite, yeah. And it's for general toning, yeah.
Yeah, and like, I mean, just like a good quick fix for your hollybobs so that
so
your skin looks good.
Nice and lifted, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go and do it all.
Yeah, there was a few other things they had in there as well. I can't remember.
I must go down and have an old look at their treatment list and go get myself gorgeous for me hollybobs.
When are you going, hollybobs?
2 weeks' time. I cannot wait. I only booked it yesterday because I was beside myself with the rain and
the rage of the Irish summer. Yeah.
Rage of the summer. And I was like, I want a refund. There's been no summer. So I'm like, get me on a flight to Ibiza in it. I'm going with my girlfriends, so it's even better. It's like Kevin and Perry go large to Ibiza.
So Ibiza, watch out. Anyway, right, what are we talking about this week?
We are
talking to Catherine Thomas, that's for sure.
Oh god, yeah, we're talking to Catherine later. I'm very excited about that.
Yes.
But like the gassing, like we obviously know Catherine 100 years, so we can like extract some beauty information about it. I think that I know all her family. Like, I mean, it's a bit of a genetic jackpot situation. Yeah. Like, the mum is in her 70s and she looks about 50.
Yeah. Do you remember we tried to set our dad up with her?
Oh my God, it was the funniest.
Yeah, it was an absolute disaster. He got absolutely shit faced. And she had to bring him home, didn't she?
Drive him home and bring him up to bed.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is the Thomas versus the Twires. I mean, all over. I don't know why we fucking thought that was going to work out.
We were like two mentlers
together. Hilarious. And I think it was dad's first ever date after mum died. So it was his first date.
No, I brought him on his first date. I actually went with him. It was a double date. Yeah, I know. It was Alec Hutchinson's mother. He's a photographer and she was on a photo shoot. And I was like, you'd be great for my dad. And again, another situation where he got absolutely gay-eyed and mortified us.
Yeah, I think basically the moral of the story is you've never dated.
He's still single.
Such courage. Such courage is not the way for it.
Yes.
But yeah, we're looking forward to chatting to Catherine later. It'll be a bit of crack.
Right, let's talk about our celeb watch.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so Venice Film Festival was on this week. And obviously everyone was stepping out looking fab. Brad's facelift looked a bit weird. But anyway, we're not going to talk about him
anymore. Leave Brad alone. He's mine.
We are going to talk about Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz.
Weisz.
Anyway.
Never know how to pronounce it.
So he is 56 and she is 54 or thereabouts. There's only 2 years between them. And they stepped out together. And I swear to God, he looked like her father. Right? No, he did.
He didn't. I think he looked
on his
amazing.
Own, he'd look fine, right? But when he looks beside her, and I think what's happened is, now, I've been studying her face. I've far too much spent time in the last 24 hours looking at this face. She's definitely been tweaking the whole way along. She had a nose job many years ago.
Yeah.
She's absolutely babe, right?
She's a babe, right?
Mm. But I think what's happened, right? She's been tweaking the whole way along, right?
And she's just preserved.
Here, there, and she's just stayed the same. And now he hasn't been tweaking the whole way along. And then the chasm between them has gotten really extreme.
I think he's aged like fine wine, though, I have to say.
No, but 10 years ago, they looked perfectly, you know, they looked like the same, thereabouts, the same.
They definitely, there is a gap.
Yeah, and now he looks like her dad. I'm not joking. And she looks like incredible. I also think she might have had an old full facelift. But
no, I don't think so.
Listen, I was studying her lips and everything. Like, this is what I do at night, in the middle of the night, when everyone else is on Instagram. Yeah. I was studying like her lip, going, that is not a Botox lip. That looks like a bit of a surgical lip.
She looks amazing.
She's beautiful looking. And I always remember 3 years ago or 2 years ago, remember at Dublin Airport had an
it's
absolute...
Different jockey, is that my imagination?
No, I don't know. But there was remember that meltdown in the airport about 2 years ago, Dublin Airport, and everyone was queuing for hours and hours and hours and hours, and everyone ended up missing their flights. She was behind me in the queue with her two kids and her nanny. And to be fair, like, I actually didn't recognise her for ages. I was just like, she just looked like a nice lady, you know, kind of small or whatever, and petite. And it was only when she was speaking to the you know, security guard, like, all of us going, when is this going to clear? Is it going to clear? Are we better off going home? Like, it was that like 8 hour situation. It was horrible. And I was like, I know that voice. And then I started looking at her going, oh my God, Theresa Wise. And she's beautiful, but very just understated. Do you know what I mean? Like, not like knockout, you know.
English Rose.
Very English Rose. Very gorgeous. But the point is, I reckon,
he is an absolute stone cold fox. I'm sorry. Yeah. 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 Like, I mean, you'd ride him into battle now.
I always remember, obviously, the moment when he was in James Bond and he stepped out in the boxers and the big crotch in him. He looked great. He looked great with the big six pack and the big crotch. But after that, I don't know, there's always something pouty.
Did you ever see that?
The pouty lips always turn me off or something. It's like he's had lips.
Yeah, the dancing he's done. Have you seen the kind of, he does this kind of dancing where he's playing this really camp. God.
Daniel Craig.
Yeah.
And he's in James Bond, hardly.
No, not in James Bond, another movie. But anyway, like, you're right. He has aged what I would
probably normally
is naturally.
Yeah.
And he looks his age.
He looks 56. I don't think he looks 56. I think he looks much older. I don't know if it's the long hair or something, but
do you know what? It's kind of that whole, the lack of weight on his face has made.
Maybe he's on the Ozempic as well. He's
probably on the Ozempic.
Everyone else, Let's go on to our rate ball. What have we got in the rape bowl this week? For
Let's see what's in the section. Rattle against the microphone.
Treatment.
Here it is. And we are.
And if you want us to put anything in the rape bowl, please just drop us a DM and we will talk about it.
Do please.
Next week
and this week you are discussing, oh my God, forehead reduction.
Oh yeah.
What?
You could probably deal with a bit of that.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. But you're right. I probably could. Actually,
we have a particularly long forehead.
No, mine is way more than yours. And like, then I got a receding hairline just to add to the insult to injury. Well,
you've always had a high forehead.
Well, apparently, Dad used to tell me, bless him, it was a sign of my brains. But I had such big brains.
I think parents tell children all sorts.
But oh no, but in the Victorian,
feel better.
Yeah, I know. But in the Victorian times, they actually used to shave their hairline, so they'd actually have bigger head.
Well,
forehead.
I mean, there's a whole school of thought that if you have a large forehead that you have more white matter and therefore you are more intelligent.
See? So, there you go. Case in point. Ba-bum. No, but forehead surgery reduction, there's two ways of doing it. Again, I actually have researched this. It didn't really bother me. You know, I wouldn't go do either of these, but what is available out there, and it's kind of hit and miss, the results. Like, I've seen some really,
I think
really
the Kardashians have all had it.
What?
Yeah.
And then, no, I don't think so. They've hairline. Au contraire, they've lasered their hairlines.
To make their forehead bigger.
Yeah, because they had like
small foreheads.
And they had that fuzzy, you know, that fuzzy hairline you can get, especially when you have dark hair and it can be quite hard to style.
And it makes your forehead small and disproportioned.
So they have
like. So there's the opposite.
There's the opposite. Whereas for big head eggheads like me. So there's two ways you can do it. You can actually get a hair So it's like a surgical operation whereby definitely need a plastic surgeon to do this, right? So they basically make an incision across your scalp, okay?
Your head.
Your head.
Not
right?
Your scalp.
Your scalp, sorry, your head. Let's say I'm putting my fingers here, like around the upper part of your scalp. And then they literally pull your scalp forward, okay?
Wow.
So, and then they stitch it back up.
The stitches are in your hairline.
The stitches
are
in your hairline.
And you've removed inch slither.
Yeah, it can be very effective, but there's also lots of problems. Sorry, that's one way of doing it, right? That's the kind of probably the easier way, ironically. And then the other way of doing it, the actual forehead reduction surgery, often they do it as a combination, is they do the incision and they pull the hairline forward. But then what they do is they shave off the bone. They shave down the bone. So let's say your frontal bone here on your skull, they can shave it down. So a lot of people will do a combination and around the orbital bone as well, around the brows. So they'll shave down your forehead. And then they'll bring down the hairline as well and then stitch it back up. So it's actually a really extreme surgery. This is not something.
But like, what's the difference between that and when you're getting a facelift and you're getting, you know, face and brow lift? Surely that's kind of the same thing. So you do the brow lift, they make an incision here, pull it up and then cut the excess skin off. It's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
No, because if you're doing the bone as well, anything to do with bone.
No, but
shaping,
the other one, the first one.
The first one, yes. But I mean, the problem, again, when I, through when I was researching this, the problem a lot of people have is the nerves. The nerves can all be knocked out of whack, right? And
that's
also
the same with all.
Yeah, but this is a particularly nerve central area of the scalp. And also, as well, the blood supply to your scalp obviously comes with blood supply, comes with hormones and everything. It's because, you know, hair growth is controlled by hormones. You can, it can upset that. And then the other thing, the other big factor, what I was looking at, was that if you get it done, and then you do start going naturally, like receding throughout the years, then you're left, you're receding over this scar. So it's kind of like, you know, it's...
I mean, but like you're kind of running, like...
It's a serious gauntlet to be running, you know. I have seen some of them and they are transformative, but it generally be on people who have, you know, like maybe there's a disfigurement going on there or something as well, you know.
Or like you where you've an absolutely giant forehead.
Yeah, but then you can just cut a fringe. I mean, or just do a side sweep fringe like me. But it is an extreme surgery. I would say it's definitely up there in one of the higher ones. And it's also extreme risk. The consultant's clinic, the girl who runs the consultant's clinic, Fiona, she did it. She's about 55 and hers looks very successful, actually. And I've seen those. Sometimes it's awful when you see those apps of yourself looking different. Do you ever go do those things? And I'm like, oh God, I do look nicer with the shorter forehead, but I would do a lot in the line of looking better, but I would not do that. But yeah, it's an extreme surgery. Well, the extreme version is extreme, but then even the hairline reshaping is pretty intense.
So are we rating it? Yay, nay?
I'd say nay.
Nay, yeah.
So, Catherine Thomas, welcome to the Fessup Hot Seat.
I am so excited and slightly terrified.
We are very excited. We're very excited.
I think we need to disclose that we have a relationship.
And the shit that I've spoken to you girls is generally when it's been after a long lunch.
Yeah, so I'm very conscious
that I have to be professional in this environment.
And I'm very conscious that we already know all your secrets, so you can't lie.
Go fess up for a reason.
Yeah, we're actually going to get her to spill the beans.
I don't have that many beans to spill.
Yeah, but the ones you have are pretty magic.
Yeah, but in the beauty world, I don't have that many. I've got like lots of...
But you've seen some mad shit over the years. Like,
Can I ask, can you remember as a kid, right?
Yeah.
Your first kind of foray into the beauty world, whether it's a kid or a teenager or something, you know, was your mom or what?
Oh yeah, my mom's basket of...
Yeah, Rimmel. No.
No, like loads of different bits. The oil of Ule under the sink.
Elizabeth Arden.
She's a fan of the simple, but it was, yeah, the oil of Ole now, but it was oil of Ule back in the day.
Yeah, right?
And she had this basket, and she, like, when I think back, like, it was an absolute bomb sight under the sink, exactly like mine is now. Yeah. You know the way when you tidy up all your bits and your bobs and it looks, and you see
for
them on Instagram?
Minutes.
I'm like, no, mine is just everywhere. Like, just all old, like, out of date stuff like that as well. But, no, my mom has great skin. My mom is, what age is she now? I'd say she's in her 70s anyway.
She looks amazing. I can attest to that.
Yeah. Now she's great. She had, as advised by you, Nick, what did she have done? She had that laser.
Well, she had full CO2.
Full CO2.
Did she?
Yeah. Yes.
Did she?
Yeah. She went hard. She actually came up to me at a hen party and she was like, you know the thing where you take your skin back to the flesh? That's what I want. And I was like, CO2 laser. So I got her hooked up.
She went, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, she came up on the train with a pair of sunglasses on and a trench coat. And I picked her up and she took the sunglasses off. And I was like, Jesus Christ, what have you done to yourself? And she was like, oh, you got this. What was it?
Like, CO2 laser. A full ablative laser.
And
hardcore.
We had to send a video to my brother in Australia, right? He lives in Australia. It was his birthday and his girlfriend was looking for videos. And my mom had to record the video like with the glasses on because her face was that destroyed. But can I tell you right now, she looks amazing.
Does she?
She looks amazing. So much so that I would actually think of getting it done myself.
Where did she get it done? Do you know? You probably know.
I'm pretty sure she went to Metastatics, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She went full throttle, basically.
Oh, like full. Like,
how long did she take to recover?
I would say 10 days.
Yeah, longer. 2 weeks. You're not really recovered.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say any of that. I don't know if it's a secret for her, but anyway, I don't think she listens to podcasts.
Thank God.
We'll carry on.
It's okay, we bitch about husbands, dads, family. No, none of our family listen to us. Thank God.
We have carte blanche to say whatever we want.
Well, you know what? No, she has amazing skin, but she, a bit like all of us back in the day,
Sun-worshiper.
I remember down in the mobile in Wexford,
yeah.
literally covered in baby oil,
yeah.
lathered in the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And us running around with yeah. baby oil as well.
Yeah. Go on
get
out there.
A little bit brown.
Yeah. Get yeah. a bit of vitamin D
just
into you.
Vitamin D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she has, like myself, a lot of pigmentation,
yeah.
a lot of sun damage. So
not anymore. She doesn't.
Not anymore. Oh my God, skin like a baby's arse. Yeah. She looks incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
So yeah, I would. I mean, it was so invasive seeing it, especially around the eyes. It's quite sore and scabby around the eyes. But and she said the itch was really bad after it.
Yeah.
But honestly, her face now, she looks 10 years younger.
Mm,
she looks amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it's expensive, isn't it? Like, how much is a CO2 laser?
Oh, like I think it's a couple of grand.
A couple of grand, but it's a one and done. Like, you're not, it's not something you'd be going in and doing every 2 years.
You can't do another one for another 10 or 15 years.
Is it, it's that hardcore? Okay.
Oh, it's flesh peeling off. It is.
Yeah.
Did you get it done?
No, I'd love
it. I'm surprised you haven't done. I'm surprised you have any skin left.
I know.
Well, and every week.
Well, the two of you, there's not a needle you haven't put into yourself. There's not a
freaking
jab. There's like,
I know.
And ironically, the irony of all things is we should look about 15.
Yeah.
But we don't.
We don't.
Ah, you look great. Yeah,
we don't look great. We don't look as wrecked as we should look. When do you remember like your first kind of, you know, like, so you remember you're there with your moms, you know, Elizabeth Arden and all the rest. Like, when do you remember like, a move away from makeup and actually going and getting skincare or getting like a facial or do you ever do those mad treatments like when you wrap yourself in cling film to get into the devs dress?
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I mean, I see the thing was I was quite a tomboy all through school and then I started traveling quite early. So like I finished school, did a year in college. And I remember, you know, the blue eyeshadow and all of like the I cut all my hair off as well. So I had short, red, spiky hair.
Oh my God. I need to see a photo of this.
Oh my God.
Me too.
Like literally, I was in Australia after school and just decided one day to cut all my long blonde hair off and like cut it right up short, pink-esque, and dyed it bright red.
Wow.
And so that was kind of my look for a while.
Was it a good look?
No.
I probably pulled that off.
Christ, no. And I was wearing, I don't know why, I had this obsession with orange tartan trousers as well at that time and buffalo boots. So it was certainly a look.
It was kind of, was that like the, I'm thinking like...
Neil from The Young Ones.
No.
No, you know the guy from Travis now, the lead singer in Travis, and he has that sort look going on with the spiky hair.
Oh,
I interviewed him on the radio a couple of weeks ago and he walked in and I was like, fuck, that looks like the photo of me from like that time from when I was 19. But so I was traveling quite a bit with No Frontiers, so from the age of kind of 20.
Mm. Yeah.
So it was, I was kind of vests, t-shirt, shorts.
Yeah.
I was kind of that outdoorsy and kind of always was, and then sort of started traveling. So the beauty treatments and the makeup and that kind of whole going through college, it wasn't really a thing for me. But I did go to like when you're in places like India and you're doing yoga and you're doing different retreats. Mm. And I do remember this one time my Judy had flown home. I had stayed on and I went to this retreat. It was called Somatherum in Kerala.
Mm.
So Kerala is the home of Ayurvedic medicine, which is an ancient form of Indian medicine, alternative medicine. And anyway, I was like, I'd go to this retreat and it was going to, you know, find myself and
pray love moment. It.
Exactly.
Yeah. We all have had one.
Yeah. Except I didn't read the small print that it was a silent retreat.
Oh my God.
Okay, so I was there. I was 3 weeks. I don't think I actually did the full 3 weeks, but
3 weeks required.
But you go and you meet this Ayurvedic. 3 weeks of not talking.
Oh my God.
So
I'd say you nearly bursted.
Can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine?
I can't imagine you being quiet for 5 minutes.
There was like people from La Scala. Do you know that opera? In where is that?
They must be hard for them to be quiet as well.
But because they go for
rest their voice box. Wow.
Anyway, so you meet this Ayurvedic doctor, and he was like, "What do you want to achieve?" And I was like, "Well, I just want to feel great." And so he prescribed all of this. You know, this is what you're going to eat. This is the yoga. This is how you're going to meditate. Mm. And then they go through, like in Ayurveda, they go through like what's your favorite color, what's your mother's, like it's all very kind of woo-woo.
Yeah.
Mm. But I loved it. And anyway, about 4 days in, like I was crying for the first 3 days and I didn't know what was wrong with me, but it was because I had to sit in my own head in silence on my own with me. And then I kind of came out of that and sort of felt quite enlightened because it was the silence. I'd never done it before. Anyway, on day 4 or 5, and
they
I was living
Botox.
In, no, they didn't give me any Botox, but I'm living in a mud hut. There was a monsoon going on at the time. And they take your rucksack. So I arrived and they took my rucksack, my books. Did I have a phone at that time? I don't even think I had a phone at the time. And they just give you a green robe and you just wander around in your green robe, minus any sort of accoutrements for the time that you're there. So it's kind
stripped
of,
back, bare.
Well, when I tell you, and then the day came for my coconut oil enema.
Oh.
And I honestly did not know what was happening, right? So I walked in and there's two kind of bamboo, two kind of structures with strings, right? So there's a bed and you lie in the bed and then they tie your ankles up and they kind of hoist you.
So oh my God.
They fill you
with coconut oil.
Upside down. Yes, with coconut oil. Yeah. And then they kind of hoist you and you're hanging upside down. And I didn't, well, like, it was afterwards. I was kind of like hanging there and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but it's too late to say anything.
It's real Irish, isn't it? It's real like, I don't really enjoy this experience, but I can't say anything because I'm too Irish.
But the girls that were doing it were so lovely and so sweet and, you know, absolutely gorgeous.
So sorry, how do they fill you? Stick a bamboo pipe up your hole and fill you with coconut oil.
Put the coconut oil in.
Through the bamboo pole?
No, through like a syringe type thing.
Okay.
And then that goes in and then you're kind of left hanging down. You're left hanging upside down.
Right.
And then they...
While what? The coconut oil goes through your colon?
I don't know what it was doing. Okay. Yeah. Just kind of...
Just don't ask any questions.
And then there was a pipe like a normal enema then and it all kind of cleared.
So then they turn you back upside down?
Yes. Okay. So they leave you hanging there for, I don't know, it felt like 4 years.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You'd want to look 12 after that. Sorry. Where did we get onto this subject? Is this a beauty treatment you had?
Well, was it a beauty treatment? I don't know. It's a treatment. Yeah, like it was one of the earliest kind of mad things that I had done.
That is for that, like you said, the bar pretty high from the beginning.
So, yeah. So it was, and then they kind of lowered you down and it all kind of came out.
Did you feel great? Well, or is there too much going on?
I think over the 3 weeks I came back and I felt amazing because you're doing yoga every day.
Yeah.
They do this Ayurvedic massage where they do, they just have this constant drip of oil on your forehead.
Is that not there like is a name for torture or something?
No, it's actually really, really relaxing. So you lie there for an hour and it's just this constant drip of oil that goes and it kind of falls down over your forehead. So I think I've had that done twice. And then you're meditating every day. So whether it was the enema or... Well, I stayed quiet most of the time, but I just got the better of me. Yeah. And so I had to climb out over the wall and I met an Indian fisherman on the beach. So I had a little holiday romance in a chow.
Did you? Yes. She's Shirley Valentine. Sex for breakfast, sex for lunch, sex for tea.
No, there was no sex. It literally was only talking because that's what I was starved
for. But it was your emotional relationship.
That is
Martin
so
funny.
Martin.
His name
was not Martin. He was Indian and when he said his name was Martin, I was like, this is meant to be.
Okay, so that was your first treatment. Jesus Christ.
Well, I wouldn't say it was my, like, I've obviously cleansed, toned, moisturized.
Yeah.
That was my first invasive treatment.
Okay. Bloody hell. Fast forward 20 years.
Yeah.
What age are you then?
Botox is a piece of cake.
Yeah, compared to that. So anything is a piece of cake compared to that. Wow. Yeah, how old are you now?
45.
Yeah. Two kids, two motherhood. Kids. What are you doing now to keep you looking gorgeous? I think here, listen, we fast forwarded a bit too much. Can we go back? Go back. We're around. We're leaving India and we're leaving Martin. So heartbreaking, leaving Martin in the beach.
Yeah. So I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And then I suppose through my... I remember the Slender Tones.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Do you remember sleeping in my Slender Tones?
I remember walking around.
Yeah.
Mine was a briefcase.
Yeah.
It was this little kind of blue briefcase. And I used to bring it around with me.
Basically the original, like, M-sculpt.
Yeah. Yeah, stick the little pads on your arse.
Yeah.
And then
I used to put it on the abs and we got pounded up and down. I remember studying for leaving cert.
Yeah.
And sitting there with the Slender Tone on my tummy hours.
You see, and we've chatted about this before, I carry my weight on my hip.
Your arse.
We've got the Thomas thighs.
And,
you know, we're the classic pear shape. So I've never really carried.
We're all belly. We're all belly in our house.
Yeah. So, and then trying to stick the things on your arse and make sure they were at the right place. And I have a big ass. And these things were like, I don't know, how many were little pads? Were they six little pads?
Six pads, yeah. I remember it.
Like you had to jack it up and
made the shorts. Remember, made Slender Tone shorts.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So you just pulled on like a pair of Spanx with a built-in Slender Tone.
Oh, God. God, I'd be.
Yeah,
that
it was
dish.
Brilliant. She's like, I want them now.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the premise of actually Sandertone, BTL, M Sculpt, actually, even like the microcurrent facials that we, you know, do, or even all the tech devices and everything. Yeah. It's the same idea. It's like
working the muscles,
sending a little signal into your muscles to activate them as if you were doing some kind of exercise, like a squat or, you know, a squat in your ass or a squat in your face or whatever.
Yeah. But I mean, like all those things, as we know, you can stick on your Sandertone, or you can sit in your chair and you can do all that. But if you stop,
you stop.
Exercise. I know. That's why we all need to.
It's kind of like the people who go and get Botox, and then they're like, well, you know, it didn't work for me. And you're like, what do you mean it didn't work for you? And you're like, well, like I found it all wore off, and you know, here I am a year later and I look the same. And you're like, well, like it's like you're it's like going to the gym once and going, well, yeah, I don't have abs. It didn't work for me.
Yeah. It's like everything, unfortunately. Like there is
consistency.
Yes.
Consistency, what you do, no, like in small, fix. There is no quick fix or anything, really.
Yeah.
Which sucks. So I'm such a quick fix girl.
You are.
I'm such a quick fix girl. I'm so like, you're the opposite. You're very long term.
Yeah.
Long game. You're probably in the middle, are you?
I would be kind of somewhere. I believe you have to work for results.
Mm.
I do.
I don't.
Well, in fairness, right? So I would go to Dr. Galshan in Beacon.
Cambus,
yeah. I'm looking at my Botox there. I haven't seen him for about 6 months.
Yeah.
Because before the Rose of Tralee, I went and I got the Hydrafacial and I got a bit of a peel. So I couldn't get my Botox in and around that. So anyway, he's on my to-do list today after I leave you, girl.
Really?
I'm going to text him and get
how often, when did you start down the bow journey?
When did I start on the Botox? Probably only before, like too late, I would have said, before my wedding. So that was
only
5 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
5 years ago.
Given your kind of, I suppose, the environment you're in, that's kind of, it is quite late, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. And your best friend works for Allergan.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. Did she not like strong arm you in to be a model some days? No.
No.
She's always texting me going, have you got any models? Have you got any models?
I know. I'm trying to think, am I actually telling the truth on that? But like, did I go any earlier than that? I don't think I did.
So where do you get done now, or what do you do?
You
don't know.
I just kind of lie down and go.
Yeah, go for
it. I put my trust. Yeah. Around here. Around the eyes, the forehead, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think a few little darts in the neck.
Yeah.
He would have done.
Your neck looks amazing, actually. I'm just looking at it now. It's very good.
No, well, I don't think I've got anything done there. Mm. My issue, right, is I have these. They're not my issue. They are my beautiful trademark, I should say.
Yeah.
I have these two dimples, right?
Oh, dimples are dimples. Cute.
And they are, I've always had them, but the older I've gotten and the kind of when I'm losing the fat off my face, they tend to they've become more noticeable. And on camera, they can look like
shadows.
When I'm on TV, they can look like shadows, little black
holes.
And one is up here, one is higher.
I'm
and
just
one
looking
is lower.
At them now.
And now, like, no one has ever noticed them before, and now it's all anyone is going to see.
Yeah.
So I tried to.
Can you not just fill them? But a filler?
No, it doesn't. And I've tried to cut there's a little tendon from here, from the side of my nose to my cheek.
Yeah.
That if we could cut that and loosen, but we tried that and it's too.
What do you mean we tried that? You're sitting at home with the tweezers.
No, myself and Gambus.
Okay.
He tried it.
Yeah.
And
so he tried to cut the tendon. So we did a little incision.
To try and loosen it.
And it didn't work.
It was too tight. And he was like, you know what? Love it. Keep it the way it is. You don't want to kind of damage.
Yeah. Well, at least he said that to you. He could have pushed you down a different journey. You know what I mean? Like, if he was a bad doctor, I don't mean that in the sense, but like a lot of people be like, sure, we'll just keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And
you're
like, actually, the good doctors will say enough is enough.
Yeah.
Rein it in there now, you know?
Yeah. And I used to see it, like when I started noticing it, I rang you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
And it was only in photo. It was after our wedding.
Oh, it's always
and I was looking
photos.
At the photos.
Yeah.
And like my mug has been on TV since I was 19 and I never kind of noticed it.
Yeah,
and it was just looking at the photos of the wedding. I went, oh my God,
where did
that come from? So obviously with age and the fat loss in the face, it's because they've become more prominent. But tried to do the little snip, tried to fill it on this one. Because then I was like, if I only have one, it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Just kind of this way, it's kind of lopsided, you know. It's like my boobs after breastfeeding. You've got one up here and one down there.
Yeah.
So Yeah. So, but now I've just, now I don't even see it anymore. I can't, and I kind of like it.
And what about Profilo? Have you tried to put a bit of Profilo into it? A little extra Profilo?
I haven't. Yeah. I got Profilo done before the wedding.
Did you love it?
I didn't see a huge amount of difference in it.
So you're not crappy enough, I think.
But
you need to be more wrinkled, basically.
I don't know. Honestly, this sounds, and maybe I'm mental, but like, I don't, when you look at your face in the mirror, I can't remember the last time I actually studied myself in the mirror. Like, I have a mirror where you go into the beacon and they show you like the little part where you're going to get it done. But like between the morning and the round and kids and getting up and getting out and like, do you know what I mean?
Getting on with things. But I always think, as you said, it's a photo. And the amount of people who text and DM, it's one photo and it's like, you not even think about it, it's never, and it's some photo and it just triggers something in you. Yeah. And this isn't my experience. I would say half the women I know have
100%.
And it's something weird. And you're just saying, like, I'm thinking of your wedding photos and I just remember your back going, God, the most beautiful back.
I remember that too. I remember looking at those, was it Hello Magazine or OK? Or
whatever,
and
didn't make Hello Magazine.
Sorry.
It was VIP. I was very happy with Bianca's coverage.
VIP. And I remember looking at me like, dude, she's been lifting some weights for that back. Like,
I love my back. I have a good back.
Yeah, you do.
And I don't know, like, again, I just, because I'm pear shaped and I kind of carry most of my weight on my hips and my ass.
When you mean most of your weight, you mean the 1 ounce of weight?
Yeah.
Ah, listen, I like my big bum.
But I like big butts.
And apparently it's not cool anymore. Apparently all the young ones want skinny now.
Oh yeah, you're not fashionable.
I was fashionable for a while.
Get over
God. But actually, because I was quite pear-shaped and always was, I did toy with the idea of getting a boob job.
Did you?
In my 30s. Yeah, like just to kind of make me a little
more
bit balanced.
More balanced. Yeah.
And
what did you do? Did you go and research?
Just did a little bit of research and then didn't have the balls and didn't have the nerves. And then it was kind of, if I ever had kids, how was that going to impact it? And maybe I'd get it done after I had kids.
See, it's like, funny, isn't it? Because people always think, I'll wait till after my babies. And then by the time you've had your babies, you're like, I just don't care anymore.
I don't care. Like, one boob is on the floor and one boob is here. And you're just like,
whatever.
Just need to sleep.
Although I do notice that, you know, when you lie down, I lie on my side and then one just goes, shoop.
Well, you see, you have boobs. You have the girls.
But they're empty sacks now. Like, I have double D empty sacks.
Well, I have little fried eggs.
But it's better to have fried eggs.
Yeah, I prefer
after
fried
babies.
Eggs.
Well, for sure.
Yeah, and you know what? I think in terms of being able to wear like the little tank tops, you know, like you and like friends of mine who have the bigger boobs are always given out about not being able to wear.
Yeah, and especially on TV, actually, you look much bigger. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you have big boobs, people look more, unless you're wearing those cinched in dresses all the time.
I can't wear anything that's high-necked at all because all you see is like this tench, like just boobs.
Yeah. So you always wear the V-neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even now when I'm probably down a cup or two and even now I'm still big boobed. Like, I'm still totally
dictated. Your porridge still remembers, like, I used to go around, like, obviously I am the queen of Spanx. I have every type, Spanx. You know, because I actually think they give you great shape.
Yeah, 100%.
And like under dresses, under whatever.
I think they give you thrush. But anyway, let's get back to that.
They also give you thrush and cystitis.
I never got thrush.
My God. We both bought the Skims.
Yeah, for
and
Christmas.
Like, I think they're designed for people with like
tiny vaginas,
short bodies. No.
Tiny vaginas.
Maybe we have particularly long bodies.
I have a very long
wedged
corset.
Up my vagina. It was literally, it gave me a camel toe and then like I had the worst thrush of my life on the back.
Really?
Yeah, it was Christmas and I was feeling really bloated. So I had the Spanx on. Or no, sorry, I put the Skims on and then I wore the Spanx leggings.
Over it.
Over the things. Oh my God.
Gosh.
Like, I could not
crack much.
Yeah, I mean, literally.
And not able to breathe.
Not able to pee. I was like, I may as well just pee through them at this point. Like, by the time I take them off, it's going to take me so fucking long. Anyway,
so you're not the first person to have done that.
Yeah.
What was I talking about?
Spanx.
Spanx.
I was going to say menopause. We can't remember. It is.
Yeah, exactly. Perimenopause. What?
Spanx. Spanx. You were getting the boobs done.
You were getting the boobs done, but now you're matching.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. I met Porrick. Yes. So I'm the queen of the Spanx. Drawers full of them. Oh, and then I have all the chicken fillets, right? So all the various sizes. You know, the little the jelly ones you put in, and then you have like a size C, and then you put in the bra, and then there's one you can put in there. Anyway, like it's just
a collection.
Like a collection.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was the hair extensions at the time as well, the clip-in hair extensions. So I got them the first night.
Yeah.
And the next morning, you know, and you're like, get up.
Go to bed with Marilyn, wake up with Norma Jean.
Like, hair extensions on the way out to the bathroom, one chicken fillet at the top of the stairs, the Spanx beside the back.
The eyelashes on your face.
The eyelashes on your face. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was all of that.
And he still married you.
He did. But I do distinctly remember the look of pure horror on his face. Like, you know, he couldn't hide it when he was getting out of the bed and walking around, and it was just like, you know, lying in the
side,
bed.
Yeah, yeah. Sidestepping the Spanx.
Can I just say something about chicken fillets? I saw on Instagram the other day and I was like, we've reached a new low, honestly, a new low. So they now have chicken fillets for your camel toe. Has anyone seen that? You put them in your leggings and your underwear, right?
What? Yeah.
To give you a camel toe.
No, so to cover the camel toe. I swear to God, I saw this girl go, she was like, and I could work out for like 2 hours on the beach in the heat and no one could see, there was nothing happening. And I was like, ah, no, seriously.
Sorry.
So you chicken fillet, you put your chicken fillet in your pants, your underpants, obviously, and then it, or maybe you don't wear underpants with leggings, I don't know.
Knickers.
But how does it stay? It needs a pocket. It needs something to sit in.
You stick it in your, between your flaps.
What?
So this, yeah, this, so it's a chicken fillet and it has a little like ridge inside. Stick it into your flaps. It sticks to your vagina. And then you work out.
Honestly, I genuinely thought we had heard it all.
He would not have married me if that was the case.
It's like some kind of chastity cap. I'll just remove the cap here and you can access my camel toe.
What's wrong with people?
The point is, so you can work out without your leggings giving you a camel toe. And I was like,
but
just,
you're sorry.
Why would you bother?
But sorry.
But then I was like, why would we bother sticking them in our bras? Why would we bother doing anything? Everyone, people have hang-ups about their,
but like,
about
if
everything.
You want a little bit of an extra push, like, and your push-up bra doesn't do it for you.
Yeah.
But like, even like, you get sweaty boobs.
You do get sweaty
when
boobs,
you use those chicken fillets.
So
but like, you, that kind of is in. It's,
could you imagine the sweaty crack situation?
I can't. No,
but they tried. They tried Wonder Bras for men as well. Remember for the for. So they tried Wonder Bra. No, not for their boobs, for their crotches. So they tried, underpants. Oh, actual underpants. Boxer shorts. And they were like,
you know, she's
they
a
were,
mom of boys and she's every second.
Sorry,
one.
I'm trying to now figure out. So you put a fillet in front to give you a bigger penis.
No, so the Wonder Bra,
right.
Gossard,
yeah,
made pants for boys and they were called Wonder Jocks. Did no one remember these? And they didn't take off, surprise, surprise. And
why?
The idea, why did they not take off? Because every man thinks he has a huge penis anyway, so they don't need extra enhancement. So they're barking up the wrong tree, literally. But so you pulled on the pants, the underpants, the men put on the underpants, and they were shaped around the crotch, around the groin area.
To give you a bigger bulge.
Yeah, to give you a bigger bulge and make you look more endowed.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they would actually do quite well now because they peaked.
I get that.
20 years ago, the men weren't into it. 20 years now, the lads go around in tight tracksuits.
Yeah, but hang on.
Asses on
do the women amazing. Go around going, did you see the bulge on him?
Maybe some kind
of like, oh, actually, maybe we do.
speaking of bulges, Claudia, would you mind getting our friend?
Oh, yeah. We have a present for you.
We have a present for you.
Oh.
We found. This is not.
Find?
This is completely.
It's a naked Barry Cohn.
Oh, my God. Where
a
live
size naked Barry Cohn.
We just found it here in the studio. We're very excited about it.
What was the movie?
Saltburn.
Saltburn. Yeah. Oh, so
see,
good.
In my head, I'm going, Barry Cohn, I don't understand the appeal. And then I think, you see, the appeal might be his pants.
He's very sexy.
Is he?
Yeah, he is sexy.
Oh, I don't
get
it.
Do you know?
No.
He's very small, though.
I keep thinking of Banshees of Inisherin, and he's like...
Yeah, an amazing actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't get over the Banshee.
No, I know. He'll always be that fella.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
Sabrina Carpenter clearly didn't.
No, they're broken up. Anyway, we've already given a message to Sabrina earlier that we're bringing Barry on.
We're stealing Barry. Barry, come to Fess Up.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we're completely off track. Sorry, where were we?
Well, how do you not get off track when you're talking about chicken fillets for your
vagina?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
I know. Anyway.
So what now you're like, your go-to is a bit of bow.
Bogey, no peel.
Here and there. Filler? Have you ever done any filler?
Maybe I did a little bit. Again, no, like no, not. I mean, if I did, maybe once.
Yeah,
so no, it's just the Botox and facials.
What kind of facials do you got?
The Hydrafacial.
Yeah, do you love it?
Yeah,
really
love
good.
It. Yeah. Did that one with Kira in the Beacon. Yeah, just before the Rose Tralee.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not great. You know, they're always kind of saying, you know,
yeah,
come up when are you to come in? What are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just the worst. Maybe.
Cobbler with no shoes as well. Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, you get to a stage or an age at 45 that, you know, It's not something that's a priority for me. It should be.
No,
I think,
but why should it be?
I am like, I do prioritize my exercise and I prioritize my trying to eat well.
Yeah.
And I prioritize trying to hang out with my kids. And I love getting my nails done. And I know when I go and get the facial and I'm there, like, and you go, okay, I'm now going to do this every month. It's like when you get a massage. I'm going to do this every month.
You never do.
And you never do.
No. Yeah.
Like, I just think we all need to go on a 4-day week and and take a day a week of
Catherine Thomas for president.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
or actually do like your retreats, you know, your pre-results retreat. I saw that on Instagram this morning. God, I'd love to do that. Do you know what I mean? I was like, I'd love to do 7 days in Portugal, you know, having a lovely time with other other people and going to the beach and doing my exercise and everything like that. And then I was like, I can't, I'm too busy, you know, automatically.
Also, and it is a lot of like, whether you come for a week or a weekend, like it is a big commitment out of people's
But
like,
you know,
I know, but
the
it's
amount of women actually that come on our retreat
and reset
and for like they for 7 days and you meet them either, you know, off the plane if we're in Portugal or whether we're doing one in Ireland. And the first thing they'll go is, oh, my God, I feel so guilty.
Yeah.
You know, I've left the kids for a week. I've left himself. Oh, my God, I'm taking a week off. It's just this is for me. Like, I've never done a holiday on my own before. And you're like, sorry, 7 days out of 365.
Yeah, yeah. It's nothing.
Wild,
and
isn't it?
And so I hear myself. And then at the end of the week, it's like coming back feeling reset.
Yeah.
A bit like my
better moms, better husbands or better wives, better friends, better sisters, the whole lot.
Just to have that time out. And it's so important. And I hear myself and I see it. I witness it on a monthly basis running the retreat that I do.
Yeah.
And then like, do I practice what I preach?
No.
And like, it frazzled and, you know, up till 1 o'clock this morning making IKEA furniture, back up at five, doing the emails, running in here, meeting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just like,
why?
And also the other thing about the holidays is like, you know, I've just booked a holiday. I'm going away with one of my girlfriends in a few weeks. And the two of us are wrecked. We're wrecked. Mm. We told the husbands and the kids and we're like, all of yous now get lost and we're going to chill out. But we're already like, I was like, let's book into the Manti Beach Club and also let's book into this and let's book into that. And so we almost got 4 days of drinking.
Yeah.
You know,
so
I was like, here's this amazing hike over me. And he goes like, I'm not hiking anywhere except to the bar.
And that's
like, it's true, but like, and then when you do go on these like retreat holidays, and I've done them too, I've gone off to Bali in 5 weeks drinking juices and all the rest. Yeah.
No, we you feed you back, on our ones.
I was about to say, I really think you should. I think you should bring in the coconut bamboo thing for your one. That will get you loads of new clients.
Not sure.
Hang it upside down.
Clients ready for that just yet, or I might have to do some sort of course to administer it.
Get your free enema from Catherine Toddy.
There's your headline. But actually, the point is that, you know, when I used to work for magazines and I always used to write, Jesus Christ, I was like, if I write this line anymore, I was like, it gives you the glow, like you're just back from holidays, you know, or like just stepped off your retreat in wherever to get that glow. And we are always chasing that glow. And maybe instead of chasing that glow, we should just go on the fucking holiday, you know what I mean? Or just take the time out, or like that, you know. Just cut the ties for a week. It's not, and I was, I'm like everybody else, the guilt's going away. And the minute I get off that plane, it's like I have amnesia. I'm like, what family? I've completely forgotten about them.
It's important. It's so important as women, to remember who we were before kids, who we were before the job, who we were before the husband, who we are, you know what I mean? And I think it is like we are so time poor, all of us. We do so much running around that actually it is so beneficial to just take time out. Whether it's a day or an hour in your day, you know, and to give it back to yourself. And I hear myself spouting it now.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
But trying to actually do it.
No, it's another kind
of, you know, it's another, it is a challenge. So I don't know, like it's kind of.
But that's why I think actually the holidays, because I say the same thing. I'm like, whereas if I commit to a holiday with girlfriends or whoever it is, it's kind of, it's in the diary and I do it, do you know, that way. Yeah. Whereas the daily stuff, I'm much worse at that. Like, I'll go for my daily walks. I'll do my daily meditation. You could never do any of it. Mm. I'll do one once every 3 weeks and then I forget. But I do tend to commit to a holiday or a weekend or something.
And you're going about 12 holidays a year.
And that's my self-care. My self-care, baby.
Whereas I definitely, you know, and I'd go through weeks of not kind of doing any exercise. Like, I've got a bit of a cold at the moment. I haven't done anything for a few days. The kids had hand, foot and mouth disease.
Oh, God.
Love.
Again. Yeah. Well, how is that disease still going around?
In school, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Two minutes.
Yeah.
And riddled with the hand foot.
Yeah.
Horrible as well.
Anyway, they didn't get it too badly, but I've got the cold or obviously something on the back of it. Clearly, I don't have any spots.
Don't touch God.
But, But yeah, so I kind of haven't exercised for the last couple of days.
You feel it.
And I feel it.
Yeah.
So yeah, like for me, it is, that is kind of like the non-negotiable for me, feeling better in my head.
Yeah.
Because of the way I run around and all the juggling. So 30 yeah. minutes on the mat, home exercise, put on a video. If I can't get out for a run or I can't do anything,
yeah,
you know, kids screaming around the place. But that is something that I do. And I can feel it when I do it. And I can, not that I can feel it when I do it. I don't even feel it when I do it. I feel it when I don't do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You're so good. You've always been like that. That's always, that's been in your DNA. Do you not think? And you're ever since I've known you. Yeah, Linda's the same.
Yeah, yeah. No, I do love to exercise. Now, I love to drink. I love to have time. I love my grub. You guys know that. And I love my food and I love eating out. And like, you know, we were talking about food noise recently, yourself and myself. And I eat breakfast and then I think about what I'm going to have for lunch. And then I think about what I'm going to have for dinner. And I just, there's nothing more I love than like
food. Yeah, pleasure. Yeah.
I fucking love it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, so I suppose to enjoy food, I love to kind of
offset it.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't love exercise all the time.
Yeah.
But I know from the benefits, I know from working on operation transformation, I know the benefits of it. I know the long-term benefits of it. I know I want to be kind of, you know, mobile as much as I can when I'm 90.
Yeah. Please, well, that was my next question. Like, yeah. Are you,
what's the future?
Are you worried at all about
aging,
particularly in the public eye and the public domain? Like, do you feel like, you know,
no, I don't worry about that. No. I worry, like, since I turned 40, like, Porrick has lost both his mom and his dad since I met him.
Mm.
And my best friend has gone through a bone marrow transplant in the lab. God. So she has had, now she's 2 years free or 2 years
in remission.
In remission this Christmas.
Mm.
But like two or three. So when that all kicked off a couple of years ago, you know, that was like, holy shit. This was like, I don't know about you girls, but like when you hit 40.
Mortality.
Yeah. And like people start getting, more people start getting sick. More people, you know, your parents are getting older if they're still with you.
Yeah.
And so like that shift, I definitely felt that shift in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So more so now. And because I was older having the girls, like,
yeah,
like I was 40, yeah, you know, and 42 having the two Dorises. So, and Porrick is in his 50s, yeah, you know. So like he's not quite Rod Stewart, but yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but now you're freaking out going, oh, you want to be here.
Exactly.
And you want to be mobile and fit and healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. So all of the...
Yeah, the beauty treatments in the world don't cut mustard.
They're great and I love it, but like it is about kind of controlling what you can control.
Well, what about on the topic then of longevity? Have you done anything to help your longevity? Have you gone on to any of the NAD supplements or any of that kind of stuff?
What are they?
Oh, they're like we'll talk to you about that at lunch, but basically you inject yourself into youthful oblivion, basically.
Is this
it's a vitamin B3 coenzyme.
Yeah, it's all going to keep coming out. All the biohackers do it now. You know?
We'll go for lunch and then people will see me in 3 weeks' time and I will look like, after everything that you guys will advise me to do, I don't know what I look like.
She had a full CO2 laser. Yeah, yeah. Injecting herself with NAD every day.
So is this kind of biohacking? Yeah. No?
We've all been biohacking for years anyway. They've just put it
on your hair is biohacking. Yeah. You know?
No, it's not. Biohacking means...
Yeah, actually cellularly reversing.
Yeah, reversing age at a cellular level.
Stopping it.
So like radio frequency, lasers do that. I saw, you sent me the video this morning about the guy from Parkinson's.
Yeah, amazing.
And they used an ultrasound device in Australia on this guy with Parkinson's who had chronic shakes. And then he had no shakes after the ultrasound.
No way.
Like, in my head, I'm going, ultrasound, you think of babies, right? Yeah. Obviously, when you're pregnant. And then you think of old therapy for your thing. So now that they're so... Like medicine is advancing so quickly, but I mean, I suppose disease is also advancing so quickly because we're all so unhealthy, unfortunately, like the Western world. But you know, it is incredible what's happening. So that is biohacking at a cellular level. Mm. You know, like they're actually hacking. You know,
some of those lasers,
and meditation as well. Like I mean, you know, like we got it. Let's mention Ozempic because I think there is a place for it.
Yeah.
In the world that we live in now, and like you know, seeing the difference that it can make for people's lives. So the show I worked on last year, and it was basically following people through different operations, but how medical science was kind of combining with technology.
Yeah.
So how they can do these incredible surgeries now, how they can fit like pins into your ankles, how they can like use 3D to kind of, instead of just looking at a 2D
scan,
x-ray, that this is now you put on these goggles and you can see exactly inside your head, inside your lungs.
Incredible.
To give people and to give patients more autonomy, more understanding in terms of what's going on, you know? So I just think like,
I mean, changing. I was in Dun yesterday in Cornell's Court, and they have this bluebird truck, I suppose is the word for it, van outside, and you went in and it simulated patients of dementia. So you went in and you put on thing, and it was like, yeah, absolutely incredible. It was like, so it was to try raise awareness about dementia, and if you had someone in your family or one of your loved ones who had dementia, so you would understand what their life was like.
So sorry, what did you do? You go in
and and they simulated your, you know, the confusion and everything else that you
How
didn't
did
understand.
They simulate it?
Like different ways. It was goggles and all this kind of AV stuff and everything.
You don't know where you are.
You're confused. It's like, yeah, like, so it was just incredible. But like, so even that on a simple level.
I joke about drinking two bottles of wine and waking up the next morning and not knowing where you are. But anyway, probably highly inappropriate.
Listen, we're so off track. We haven't talked about anything. Right, going forward for the future, would you do surgery before we wrap up? Real surgery, not real surgery.
Absolutely,
you know.
If it was.
Would you go for the facelift?
I would never say no.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on, like I would be open to whatever made me feel good.
Yeah.
At a particular time if I needed it.
Yeah. But right now you're not in the headspace. Right now you're in the headspace of getting through the day with the kids.
Are you telling me I need a facelift?
No.
Fucking hell.
We were just saying, I arrived up in the lift this morning, Liz, like, you're dressed for a funeral. I was walking up Grafton Street and she's like, I feel great. Who needs that?
I had to bring a girl down.
Yeah. Liz fire.
I know. Look, I'm a big believer in tweakments, treatments, like all
treat yourself
surgery. I'm a, like, whatever makes you feel good.
Yeah,
it's like each to their own.
But like you said, like, there's no point in looking fabulous on the outside unless you are. I mean, if your liver is mush and your bones are,
if you're not going to look great if your liver is mush because your skin will be all weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much a good thing.
No, but this is the whole thing. It's all like, it is holistic. It is a 360 approach.
Yeah.
Liz is like, oh, yeah.
I know.
I'm making Liz come to the gym. Like, I'm good at the weights.
You got her into a gym.
I know. Liz is good at other exercises.
I'm actually very good at exercise.
You're good at doing things like going for runs and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm a tennis club and everything.
You do a lot of cardio exercise, but you wouldn't be.
I was master debates. What are you talking about? I was in CrossFit before anyone even heard CrossFit.
Mm.
Yeah, and your mom was actually saying to me, "God, your form is excellent." And I was like, "Thanks very much. My form is freaking excellent." Yeah, there you go. Listen, I could take you down.
Wow, sounds like a challenge.
Yeah. When we're about 90, I'll be like, "See, I'm still alive. And I never lifted a weight. Fuck you."
Lifting bottles of wine does not qualify us.
God,
high repetition, low weight. And on that
we'll see.
We're going out for lunch now.
Exactly.
Yes.
Catherine, thank you so much for today. Wonderful as always. I'll never forget that image of the bamboo and the coconut, Emma.
I'll wait for you to finish up here, and I'm going to Google chicken fillets for your nether regions.
Chicken fillets for your vag. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Camel toe fillet. I don't know what it's actually called.
What are my algorithms going to send me after that? Like, Jesus.
Okay, so here is our aesthetic agony aunt section. Basically, that's what it is.
Here we go. First one.
Hi, what can I do about the loss of elasticity in my face since menopause? I'm getting all the lines around my upper lip, and I also can see the sun damage and spotting from when I was young and never used any kind of sunscreen. Thanks.
Okay, second menopause, you go on, crack on.
There's three things here.
Yeah,
firstly, sun damage. So the only thing to really do
and spotting,
with that,
yeah,
the sun damage and spotting is to, like, it depends how you know, how bad it is, but you need a laser, a really good laser, to, like, basically resurface your skin. So you can do, like, a hardcore Fraxel laser. If you're not that way inclined and you want something a little bit softer, but you have to do more of them, you could do something like a BBL and a Moxie. Which,
the problem with sun damage is it's deep. Okay, so the melanocytes are very deep, and that's where the brownness is coming from. And by the way, that damage, you know, people are like, oh, you know, that damage was done very young, like five, basically, so
yeah,
you're a kid. So it's just sitting there for many years, and often during menopause or pregnancy or anything hormonal, it comes to the surface. But you can actually, like, literally obliterate those little melanocytes, so they are burst into smithereens with the laser. So as I said, there's a couple of different ones that activate, or not activate, that neutralize, obliterate.
Well, actually, those cyton lasers actually reverse sun damage at a cellular level.
Yeah. Well, what about Candela?
Like early stories. Yeah. The peak away. Yeah.
Peak away. Because the peak away, it's called a peak away laser. And it's like, it works on picoseconds, which I don't even know scientific term, but it's like way less than a nanosecond.
Goes
in and it blasts those melanocytes away. But it also the Candela resurfaces the skin as well. So it's a 2-in-1.
Yeah. 2-in-1.
So you can do 2-in-1. So anyone who has a Candela laser, the peak away laser, should be able to sort out. And also that'll help with the lines because it works to,
Resurface the skin
and it'll stimulate collagen as well.
Basically, the short story on that, the first part of this problem, which is the kind of sun damage, is to invest in a really good laser.
Yeah. And she also mentioned that her elasticity had gone.
So that's kind of stage two.
Yeah.
So stage two is the elasticity. And I mean, look, elasticity and the lines, I suppose, is stage two and three. Botox and fillers, the end. So, I mean, if you're only going to do three things, I would be like Botox. See, the reason I've said lasers first is because obviously you want to do the laser before you do anything else. Sort the skin out, then do the Botox, then fill what the Botox has not corrected. And I think I would do it in those three stages, unless you're willing and financially able to go down the route of doing some kind of more hardcore stuff, you know, where you're actually tightening the skin and, you know, they're a little bit more invasive. But if you're not willing or able to go down those kind of routes, then I would do it in that sequence. Look after your skin, get the laser sorted, wear Factor 50 from here on out every single day, hail, rain or snow. Get good Botox, lower face Botox, all around your mouth from a really expert practitioner. And the same expert practitioner can chase those tiny lines with small amounts of really liquidy filler around your mouth and sort out that whole lower face area, which can kind of lift the whole lower face, and you will be amazed at how transformative those small things can do.
Yep. Okay. Have we another question?
Hi, girls. Fionnuala here. Hope you're all really well. I have reached the 1-year mark to my wedding. Very exciting. I'm wondering if he had any recommendations as to what I should be thinking about in advance of then, what I should be getting, what you think I should be looking at in terms of what I've already gotten. I have had a couple of sessions of microneedling, so my skin is very good. I've tried my little bit of Botox and I love it, but I'm trying to stretch out my appointments to save my money. So we'll be getting it kind of closer to the time and trying to not get it in between. I've had my laser hair bits, very happy with that. Anything else you reckon I could look at? And I suppose also, maybe more importantly, anything you wouldn't really recommend in advance of the wedding for my skin, for myself, for my body, yaddy yaddy, so I look the absolute best on my big day.
Okay, that's good. Good forward thinking on her behalf.
And a good amount of time. Any shorter and you're into like danger territory because you're dicing with things you don't really know the end result.
That would be my main thing, which was saying anything you would avoid. I would avoid dicing with anything near the wedding.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Six months or even earlier.
2 months. I'd say nothing after 2 months. Do you know what I mean? Because you want to... Yeah, you do need to time it, right? Okay, so you need to time everything that you're doing. So injectables are the end, right? You have to start anything injectable at the end. What you were saying is interesting about the Botox, like dragging out the Botox appointments, you know.
I wouldn't be doing that.
Would you not? Why not? No. You would need to save money for your wedding. I'd totally do it.
I suppose, yeah.
I would totally do it. I'd hold off on the Botox and I would do it.
But you know,
4 weeks beforehand and I'd get a top up.
Two weeks beforehand.
So it'll be absolutely at a perfect peak on your wedding day.
Yeah, but if you're using Botox to do anything like slim out your jaw or anything like that, you kind of need to be doing it regularly throughout the year. But anyway, that's a different...
Yeah, but she was saying it's kind of baby Botox, so it's just kind of beginner Botox. And in terms of skin, she was saying she's doing the microneedling. Great.
Keep going
with that.
I think the thing to avoid is doing anything really aggressive or abrasive that you're not sure the end goal. Like, I was talking to somebody only the other day, rang me the other day, and she was like, oh, she's using all these mad products. Like, and again, she's getting ready for her wedding or whatever, and her skin was totally broken out, and she was using like really expensive products. And I'd actually sent a photo of her on to one of our derm friends, and the derm was like, strip it all back. Like, you've totally compromised your skin barrier.
Yeah.
And actually what you need to be doing is like basic CeraVe cleanser.
Yeah.
Basic emollient, bit of retinol, like, and keep things simple, and then, you know, consistent with Like the Botox and the...
Yeah, well, actually, that's a good point. Get on the retinol or the Tret now.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a... And you can start building up your tolerance now. So that by the time your skin is like in a year of retinol or Tret, if you're... I always think if you're away, go into a pharmacy in France or Italy or any of these places and ask for Tretinoin and it's about 15 quid. Whereas here you need a prescription and it's about... I don't know how much...
No, it's actually quite cheap once you have a prescription. But you need to get a prescription too.
You can just rock into any of those... pharmacies and get in the continent, no problem. But again, these are really, really, and actually, no, hold on, retinol is about to change. The legalities of it are going to be about to change in the next few weeks. So actually, if you're on holiday, stock up. But again, you really need to build up your tolerance. Like I would start like once a week for the first month, twice a week, move up and up and up, because people completely underestimate how long it takes to build up a tolerance to retinol or
and how strong it is.
And how strong it is.
Start using it and all of a sudden your skin is flaking off and it's bright red.
And it brings out spots and everything. And like many times I've tried to break through on it and given up. I'm like, oh, feck it, it's not worth it. So get on the Tret, get on it early. I always think for when you're a bride, right? The best thing I ever did for being a bride was my teeth. I've talked about this before. Mm. Put your money in your teeth because they'll last forever. Yeah. I would make sure. And think about it. When you think of, like, everyone's going to be wearing a white dress. Well, not everybody, but the majority of people are wearing a white dress. Mm. When you look at a bride in their photo and you like the smile and, you know, the radiant eyes and all that kind of stuff, you know, and like if you have, and obviously she was saying she's saving the money. So I would be like the teeth and eyebrows. That's the other big thing I would say.
You can pencil your eyebrows in. If you use the makeup artist at the end of the day, the eyebrows is like, that's not a good investment.
Okay. So I would put all my money into the teeth bucket.
Teeth and Botox. And actually, during the week, I got a real lovely Cinderella treatment. I went and got dermaplaning.
Yeah. And oh, yes.
Yeah. Like I had dermaplaning done the other day or whatever. And
shave off all your beard, basically.
Basically, shaves off your beard and all your dead skin. Actually, you know what?
Brilliant thing for makeup.
But when you put your makeup on, 2 days later, your makeup glides on like a, you know, on a smooth, lovely surface. So it's a good little Cinderella cheat.
Yes. And also the other thing I would do, if I needed my best skin by next Saturday, I would do today. Mm. I would do about 7 days. I would do a peel and an IPL session right in the same go. I would do like a light peel. A clinic should be able to do this. Like if not, buy one in Neostrata or something in a pharmacy and then go and get a laser straight away. Now, again, if you've never done this before, don't do it.
Yeah, or do it now. Test it out.
But like 7 days later, the glow is off the charts. You just look radiant, you know, in love or not.
And best luck with your wedding.
So guys, we will be back next week for more Fess Up chats. If you've got aesthetic questions, queries, or you just want to have a bitch, drop us a DM or you can send us a voice note on the WhatsApp number, which is on our Instagram at futurebeautyshow.com.
And also, if you really enjoy our podcast, please hit the subscribe button. It actually really helps with the algorithms and helps us stay on the air chatting to you guys and getting good guests. So don't forget to hit the subscribe button. And thank you so much for tuning in once again. And a special thanks again to our amazing sponsors, Fifth Avenue Clinic, who are hopefully going to get me gorgeous for my holidays. where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud.
Sounds better with us.